there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Thank you for joining us on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
From the Cavaliers production studios at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in downtown Cleveland. Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday night. Cavs with the night off, back in action tomorrow night when they'll take on the Miami Heat at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Cavs will go into the ballgame off a nice win last night when they downed Indiana in Indiana 108-103. Jim, we're going to talk about that win last night, and we've got a couple very special guests lined up for this week's show. We're going to hear from Cavalier legend Brad Doherty, and then later on in the show, we'll talk to Miami Heat radio play-by-play announcer Jason Jackson, and we're also going to look back in that game against Indiana and the unbelievable performance by newcomer Marcus Morris.
Sounds good. Marcus Morris was just outstanding, Tim. It's like he'd been around our system and the way we play forever. But the uniqueness of Marcus Morris is that he's played for how many teams? Eight or nine?
Eight.
Eight teams. So he's getting a check. And there's not too much variation today as to what teams do offensively and defensively. So he was able to come right in there and get the job done. I thought he was one of the key factors in that victory. And, of course, Brad Doherty does a great job for Bally's. Great, insightful, the best Cavalier center of all time. I just think that anytime he talks, our fans should listen.
So there you go. So we're going to have a busy show. We want you to stay with us. When we come back, we'll look back at that game last night, that great win over the Pacers in Indiana. So stay with us. Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. We'll continue after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Merrill looking, fires it to Garland. Garland, right side, Morris, three ball, good! He beat the buzzer! Welcome to Cavalier Land, Marcus Morris. Wow! Marcus Morris with a 14-point game and a three ball to close out the third quarter. How about that? He looks great in wine and gold. Indeed, Marcus Morris put on a show last night in Indiana. Cavs with that big win over the Pacers, 108-103. Outstanding performances from Caris LeVert. Almost had a triple-double. Had a double-double. 23 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. Jared Allen, 23 points, 9 rebounds. But Jim Jones, I think it's fair to say Marcus Morris stole the show in less than 20 minutes, just under 20 minutes, 14 points, 4 of 5 on three balls. Now, he went to shoot-around yesterday morning, kind of walked through some things, talking to the coaches. They were pointing some things out, got some shots up during pregame drills last night, and then comes out and has a performance like that.
Yeah, well, he's been around, and he's got experience. Our system isn't difficult, but it is taxing because we ask you to make multiple efforts on the defensive side of the ball. But to be with a team as talented as we are, and all he has to do is just shoot that turnaround jump shot, the mid-range, and the catch-and-shoot three, I think it was easier for him. Plus, when he's out there with Tristan and Okoro and LeVert and Niang, you know, he could really be physical and beat some guys up. I thought his physical presence was also just as important as his scoring.
Jim, he was signed to a 10-day contract. You certainly think he's going to be here longer than that. What will he bring to this team in these final 14 games?
Grit, toughness, tremendous amount of experience and know-how. a guy that you should watch while he's on the floor just to see his demeanor? Just little things, Tim, like under the basket, Pacer player catches the ball, he hits him quickly across the hands and makes the signal that he was on the ground, he wasn't in the form of shooting, because he understands the game. And, you know, all those little things. And he can waste six fouls, you know, because he's got Tristan, he's got Okoro, so he's got some other people out there. So physicality will not be a problem for him, and it will give us a tremendous edge. I just thought we beat them up pretty good after that second quarter.
Boy, no doubt about it. So, again, Marcus Morris was just terrific in his Cavalier debut last night in Indiana with that 14-point effort. And after the game, he talked about his performance and coming to the Cavs.
First time seeing him during shoot around. So, you know, it's a league, man. They did a great job communicating with me. The players did a great job communicating with me. So it was easy, man. I just, you know, played the game the right way and took the defense gave me.
Did the relationship that you have with JB also kind of help instill that confidence just to go out there and play your game?
Definitely. You know, it's funny because we wasn't even talking about me joining. Like, we just having natural conversation and just talking basketball. And him, like we both come to agreement on me coming over here and trying to help the team. And, man, we both, like he joked earlier about me being on the couch. Like, I definitely was on the couch. I was working out, though. I was with my kids and getting some sun, just enjoying my time off. But, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to help. And just want to, you know, keep pushing guys, keep being a leader, and show my work.
What were your impressions of this team being able to come back from, you know, being down 15 in that first half?
Just resilience. But, you know, they've been a good team all season. I've been watching them afar just because of our relationship. And they had some big games where they came back. And, you know, just another one. You know, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. So just show the resilience of the team, being down a lot of guys and, you know, just trying to hold on and keep going until we get the guys back.
Did also having Tristan Thompson out there kind of aid in that?
Definitely. Me and him, you know, we came into the league together. So being able to, you know, share the court with another veteran as talkative, emotional like myself and play hard, it was definitely easy.
Played about 20 minutes tonight. Is that more than what you expected?
No, man, I prepared my body for it. So, you know, me and JB was going back and forth. He asked me early, like, what, you know what I mean, how do you feel? And I was like, you know, I'm good. You know, I've been playing pickup. I've been working out every day, so, you know, I'm a veteran. You know, I'm a professional, so I made sure that I would be good by the time I got here.
What was your mentality coming into tonight's game, Marcus?
Just help, man. Just play the game of basketball the right way. Take what they give me. Not hold the ball, move, communicate. Just be a leader, be a veteran like myself. And, you know, so not try to do too much, man. I've been, you know, watching the last probably seven games, so I kind of, like, figured out how the team played, the ball movement, get into the point guards, you know, hands. And, you know, yeah, God, Kerr had a great game, so he was just play off him and watch him do his thing and keep motivating him.
You've mentioned a few times just your relationship with JB. What is it about his coaching style? Is it his system? Is it the way that he communicates with guys? What caters to your game so well?
It's funny, when I got into the league about 20 years ago, he was my coach, and he was an assistant coach, but he acted as if he was the head coach. There's no knock to Kevin McHale, but, you know, I always viewed him as a head coach. He's always, like, talked to his players, always gave confidence to his players and made it easy. So we just had a short conversation, you know what I mean? He said, you know, just play the game the right way. I communicate, it should just come easy.
Kirstenberg talked about how insane difficult it is to come in cold like that, shooting in a rhythm. How tough was it, or was there some freedom to it?
I mean, if you know me, it wasn't really that tough, you know what I'm saying? But the thing was, they did a great job of getting into the paint, bringing down the defense. I just had to make open shots. So when you're at home and you're not doing nothing, the one thing you is doing is shooting spot shots. So, you know, I did kudos to them of getting in the lane, making the defense collapse, and I just did my job, making open shots.
Marcus Morris following the game last night against the Indiana Pacers. Morris coming off the bench, having signed his contract the day before in just under 20 minutes, 19 minutes and 52 seconds to be precise, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc, 14 points overall. Quite a debut. And again, it was referenced there a couple of times when Marcus Morris came into the league, drafted by the Houston Rockets. J.B. Bickerstaff was an assistant coach with Houston under then-head coach Kevin McHale. So he worked with Marcus quite a bit. They have a great relationship, and the NBA is pretty intertwined. So those guys have maintained that, and boy, it came up big for the Cavs last night as Marcus Morris in his debut was outstanding. We'll take a quick timeout on Cavs HQ presented by Betway when we come back. Cavalier legend Brad Daugherty will join us. So stay with us. That comes your way after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Grant into the circle. Hook pass knocked right back to him. Into the air. Feeds it off to Daugherty. Hammers it home.
Price well out on the right side. Dribbling with the right hand. Moves it to the three-point line and stops. Out to Daugherty. Turns. Hooks with the right hand. Good.
Price swings behind Daugherty to the top of the key. Drops it to Brad. Down the lane. Wham! With the right hand. Daugherty baseline five on the shot clock. Works his way inside. Hooks with the right hand. Good.
Oh, the incomparable, iconic. Any other adjective would be appropriate as well. Joe Tate making the call of our guest, Brad Daugherty, Cavalier legend, Wall of Honor member, and of course now does a great job with Bally Sports. Always great to have Brad on. Cavs HQ presented by Betway. Mr. Daugherty, I'm sure that brings back a lot of great memories of the great Joe Tate making those calls.
Well, you're exactly right. Makes my back not hurt so bad when I hear those calls. Makes me feel good. For just a second or two, but yeah, it always brings back great memories.
Well, let's talk a little Cavaliers basketball. Of course, Miami will be in town tomorrow night. You'll be in town as well, calling the game on the TV side. Jim and I were talking before you joined us. Boy, that was a gritty, gutsy win on Monday night in Indiana. What'd that show you about this Cavalier basketball team, Brad?
Yeah, you know, you guys are right. It just makes you think back over the entirety of the season and how we've had to, you know, persevere, and guys have had to step up, that next man up mentality. We had tremendous success with that, the whole ideology of just doing your job no matter who you are when you have the opportunity going into the All-Star break. I thought it was just remarkable what we accomplished. And then, you know, Donovan had, you know, he has his setback, and Caris LeVert steps up, and it's just been interesting. I think this has been one of the best coaching jobs of any coach that I've seen in a long, long time in this league. You know, what J.B. Bickerstaff has had to do on a weekly basis is just, it's incomparable. Now, every team, and I talk to a lot of different coaches throughout the league and have a lot of friends who are coaches, and they're all complaining about the injuries. It seems like everyone's hurt. It's really weird. But it's usually not two guys. It's maybe one guy or a role player that's significant. But, I mean, we're looking at time. We've had two and three and four all-star caliber players hurt significantly, and here we are. We're still surviving, playing very, very hard basketball, gritty basketball. But, you know, as we get down to these last few games over these last few weeks, man, it's going to be even more difficult to scratch these things out. So just got to play hard every night.
Brad, I want to talk to you about a group of guys that I call the Bulldogs, because I saw something in Indiana that turned a light on for me. Marcus Morris, Tristan Thompson, Okoro, Niang, and LeVert. Those guys were so physical, Brad, and so aggressive. They turned the tide in that second quarter. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, the one thing that has been missing from our basketball team, obviously going into the playoffs last year, getting bounced, and then you come into this season, and the whole thing behind the Cavs were, you know, great athletes, can play in space, but if you take up that space and challenge and bump these guys around, you know, you got Evan and Jarrett, they're slightly built, but they're tremendous athletes. They're live wires, but if you can get into them, maybe you can knock them off their spots and create problems. And so we've seen some teams do that this year and try to do that. New York seems to have some success with that against us and just have our number in that regard. But watching Morris and Tristan, while he's back, George has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. You love that about him. I think you're right. We have to have that element, and especially when we've got guys that can basically rotate in 6, 7, and 8, and bring that level of intensity and physicality to the game that we're probably not going to have in our starting lineup, because our starting lineup, like I say, is more fluid. We're more of an execution-based basketball team, which most teams are today. The majority of teams are execution-based basketball teams. And we're not one of those teams where we're just going to beat you up and sling you around, because the league doesn't play that way. But when you get to the playoffs, it becomes half-court basketball, and the officiating becomes much freer. So the ability to dominate that post area, to dominate that interior, becomes even more important. And it has to go across all levels, not just big guys. Your guards have to be able to stick their nose in there and grab a defensive rebound. Because the ball, you know, we shoot a lot of long shots now, so there's long rebounds. You got to have those guards that come back and get rebounds. That's where it becomes the toughness element that we need to continue to develop. And when teams challenge us, because they're going to challenge us, that's the narrative on our basketball team. We don't have the physicality. But I think, Jim, the thing in today's game is most teams in today's game don't have that physicality.
That's right.
So they're all, yeah. And so those teams that come in and their coaches telling them, we got to be physical with this team, that's the MO, that team that's doing that is not a physical team. So they're playing out of their element. So if we can have a group of guys that come in and can match that, it'll go away. It'll go away. So I'm really, really encouraged. You know, we got a couple of vets in Morris and Tristan. These guys have been around a long time. They know what needs to be done. You got a guy with a chip on his shoulder like George. You know, you put a guy in there who's hungry like Craig Porter or Sam Merrill. These guys are hungry. And Caris LeVert, man, he gives it no matter what. If Caris is having a terrible shooting game, he'll go down the other end and get you a steal. He plays so hard all the time that I love it. And I think that's what we've been looking for, and that's what we've been missing.
Again, we're talking with Cavalier legend Brad Daugherty. And, of course, now he does exceptional work for Bally Sports on the television side. Brad, our guest on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. We've got more to hear from this Cavs legend. So stay with us. Brad Daugherty and our conversation with him continues after this on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Last week, the Cleveland Cavaliers hosted a nonprofit mixer at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse as previous grantees, partners, and local organizations took part in an engaging session to learn about the Cavaliers Community Foundation and Cleveland Monsters Community Foundation and their focus areas and grant application guidelines. The nearly 60 groups being represented were able to network among the Cleveland area organizations and then enjoy the Cleveland Monsters game following the event. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be back with the second half of Cavs HQ presented by Betway right after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Merrill left corner to Morris. He'll shoot. He'll hit another three ball.
I love it. Sam had a good shot. Morris had a better one.
You're experiencing Cavs HQ on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Here's Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
Great to have you back. Great to have you joining us on this Tuesday night for Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Cavs off tonight, back home tomorrow night, and it's a very quick trip to Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. One game at home against the Heat on Wednesday, and then right back out on the road Friday in Minnesota, and then Sunday a rematch with the Heat in Miami. And calling the game tomorrow night on the television side will be Brad Daugherty for Bally's. He's our guest this week on Cavs HQ. And Jim, I'll let you get things started with Brad here in our second segment.
Well, Brad, let's start at the top of the Eastern Conference. Boston, they're running away with. They're a plus 40 on the win-loss side. I still don't believe them. To me, they're soft. I tell Cornbread this. I talked to him last week. And I'm not a believer. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's interesting you say that. And I watch them play a lot. You know, I just think it's Jason Tatum makes a lot of shots. Jaylen Brown makes a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. I just think they've shot the ball consistently on a nightly basis better than everyone else. I agree with you. I don't think they're a physical basketball team at all. I think in the day's game, in the regular season, Jim, because there's so much freedom on the basketball court, a team like that can beat you, because Porzingis can be a little bit of a matchup situation where most nights, you know, the guy's got 6 inches on a guy or 6-8 inches in reach on a guy, and he's shooting jump shots, but he can also tip a ball in. He'll get 8 rebounds, and they've got enough out shooting consistently with Brown and Tatum. They make those mid-range shots. They beat people. But I think you're right from the standpoint of, I think come playoff time, they're going to have a problem. You put a healthy Joel Embiid in the middle of that process, and they got a problem. They got a huge problem. And I think we could be, because Jared Allen improved his offensive game 100%. He has absolutely improved his offensive game beyond reproach. And as long as he continues to be active shooting those hook shots, and the other thing for Jared is continue to accept that mid-range 13, 14, 12-foot yep. shot and not go away from that. You know, he goes away from it sometimes because he's such an unselfish player and he's looking to help his teammate. But when he does that, I think we can beat them, because I think he becomes more of a matchup problem for their bigs, for Porzingis. And I also think it creates a lot of freedom. If Donovan's healthy, it pulls Porzingis kind of out of that basket area. Now they got to make decisions. So I think they're very beatable. To me, that would be the most difficult to deal with would be Philadelphia if they're 100% healthy, which they're not.
I agree.
I think they're a match problem for anyone, because Joel Embiid is dominant on both ends of the floor. And I don't see that in Boston. I don't see them. They don't have a player that's dominant on both ends of the floor. And I think that's going to catch up to them at some point.
Great point. Again, great insights from Brad Daugherty, our guest on this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. And Brad, you referenced in the first segment that we had you, the health really of every team in the NBA. And you were talking there about if Philadelphia is healthy. And I want to circle back to the Cavs with that, because you keep hearing, when we get our roster together, when everybody's healthy. But let me ask you, does it take, or how many games would it take for that roster to get comfortable with one another? The Cavs already announced today Donovan is going to have that nose realigned, so he's going to miss at least another week. How many games do you have to play together to say, okay, now we got a feel for one another?
Yeah, I think we're beyond that, you know, and that's concerning. At this point, I mean, it's like we're sand through an hourglass, and it's down to that last little, you know, quarter of sand in that hourglass. It's gone. It's going to be gone soon. So I just think, you know, from preparation standpoint, you have to just have a game plan that is flexible. And that is not what you want going into the playoffs. You want to be going into them full speed, and it's based upon going through the regular season, working on execution to where you're executing at the highest point in the season, and you're just blowing into those playoffs, and you're just going to wear people out. That's not what we're going to have. So it's going to be a chess game once we get into the playoffs, and it's going to be whomever's ready, because I've just never seen anything like it throughout the entire league with the injuries. And I'm talking about over the last 3 or 4 years. I'd question, you know, letting these guys rest and load management and all those types of things. But I just think it's something different in the way athletes train today that lends itself to these just little bitty injuries that are a knee soreness that ends up being a torn meniscus at some point, you know, which is not career threatening, but it's season, you know, part of your season threatening, or
right.
just these little things I'm watching. And so I don't know. I find it fascinating, and I talk to our doctors all the time. You know, is it ligament strength? Is it, what is it that's causing these little, and nobody can answer that. So, but to go back to answer your question, I like what I saw from J.B. Bickerstaff when we went down with Darius Garland and Evan Mobley went down. I like the fact that he was willing to go away from being a team that was pretty dominant defensively inside and out to a team that was spread the floor, and he put four guys on the basketball court sometimes that could all point shots. And made it just unguardable. And I think that his willingness to do that's what's going to help us have success in the playoffs, because I don't think we're going into healthy. I don't think anyone is.
You know, Brad, it's funny you should say that, because Donovan, he's only played 23 games with Garland, Mobley, and Jarrett. And that's definitely not enough to develop any chemistry. So we got to bypass that. I totally agree with you. But also, I remember Bill Russell saying, he told Dwight Howard, what do you do in the summer? He said, well, I lift, I run, I do all this. He said, do you ever think about resting?
Yeah.
You know, because think about it, you lose almost 25% or more of your muscle mass through the course of the season just by getting up and down the floor and fatigue and burning fat and whatever. But this is a new age athlete. They want to play all year round and think it doesn't affect their game. It does affect their game. It may improve their game, but it's a really wear and tear on the body. And you and I know you don't really feel it until you retire, right? When you retire.
Yeah, oh, man.
And a month bad. Or a year after retire, you say, wow, I didn't know I could feel this good.
Yeah, you're right. I spend a lot of time with, I've got a couple of friends who are exercise physiologists. Mm-hmm. I'm always talking to them about the human body and my size and those types of things. And the one thing, and you're dead on it, I hear a lot. I was actually just talking to my friend a couple of days ago, Dr. James Selfo, and we were talking, and he said, talking about being a professional athlete, and today's modern professional athlete, it's really very unhealthy because just what you're talking about, there is not enough rest. What he was talking about, he said, you know, if you think about it, an NBA basketball player who's playing today, Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland, these guys, they also played AAU basketball. Mm-hmm. And so AAU basketball, sometimes those teams in the summer play 100 games.
Yeah.
You know? And you think about it, Jim, you and I coming up, we went to basketball camp in the summer, and that was about it. You know?
That's
and
right.
That was it. And so you watch, and it's the one thing I've noticed being around, you know, watching it, I think there's too much of everything with these guys. And I think you're right. I think it's inflammation. I think it's overload. And I think there's not enough recovery in the basketball lifespan of an NBA basketball player now because of AAU basketball, college basketball, and now pro basketball. I watch these guys warm up, Jim, and you do too. I mean, these guys shoot 1,000 shots before games.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. Every time I see it, I'm blown away. I just don't understand that. But I get it. You get the perfection out of it, but you also get the deterioration out of it. And so where's that healthy balance? And I think looking at all these guys getting hurt all the time, load management or no load management, heck, they were hurt more with load management. I think we all need longer periods of rest, but that's not going to happen just because of the way the scheduling is. So summertime, these guys need to probably – completely decompress, and just my theory, and take a month off and just have active rest, whether it's just light walks or playing pickleball or doing something like that, as opposed to working on their bodies, because I think their bodies are broken down so badly, like you're talking about, losing that 25% of muscle mass. And then you go right back at it 2 weeks later. It's not enough rest.
Great, great stuff. Brad, on that note, we're going to let you go. Again, always just terrific comments and insights when you join us on Cavs HQ. We really appreciate it. Love your work on Bally's as well, and we'll see you tomorrow night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Thank you, Bradley.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Thank you both. I appreciate you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
I love listening, so
Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks, Brad. Yes. Brad Daugherty joining us on this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. We'll take a quick timeout. Miami's in town tomorrow night. We're going to talk some Heat basketball with their play-by-play announcer, Jason Jackson. So stay with us. We're coming back after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Out to Bam for three for the win. It's ball game. Bam Adebayo, for the first time in his career, three consecutive made threes, and it's a game winner. Two words for you, baby. Hot. Bam.
Oh, that's awesome. Jason Jackson.
I love it, Jason.
Yeah, the radio voice of the Miami Heat. And, of course, that was Bam Adebayo's three ball on Sunday that took down the Detroit Pistons. And Jason on the call as the radio voice of the Heat. He now joins us as our guest on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. That was an awesome call, man. Great stuff.
Well, I've calmed down since. But, you know, Jim, you know, how many times does your five get to win the game with the three? You know, he's trailing behind Rozier. He's screaming at Terry to give him the ball.
Oh, okay.
And he's been on this rip now. He's made five threes in a row. And that was The third one was truly the charm in Detroit there.
But, Jason, I'm the only guy I know that they'll give me the ball with 3 seconds left. I've blown so many last-second shots. Here, Jones, you shoot it. What?
In Heat Parsons, they call it the grenade.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
When you get it that late, baby, that's always tough.
Well, Jason, of course, the radio voice of the Heat, they're in town tomorrow night. The first of two matchups with the Cavs here in the next 5 days. Cavs and Heat, Wednesday night here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, Sunday back in Miami. But before we talk about the matchups per se, Jason, just to look at your team overall, and certainly the Heat, like everybody else, battling injuries and just trying to survive to the finish line. So give us a state of the Heat right now as you get ready for the Cavs on Wednesday.
Okay, let's be honest, gentlemen. As you all sit in the more lofty seat in the Eastern Conference, as it pertains to positioning, you look over your shoulder and you see that party of five beneath you. I understand how this is going right now. And the Heat are in this group, and it's dicey because every day, several times a day, you're compelled to look at the standings and see who won, who didn't, how far did you slide, how far did you rise. It's going to be this way for the remaining, 15 games here for all of those teams. For Miami, it's a little bit of a carbon copy of last year. It's just body after body. You get a couple back, you lose a couple, you lose a key components when you're talking about Kevin Love and Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jovic, Josh Richardson, who was really, really kind of flowing in the rotation before he had a shoulder that shut him down for the season. So, I just rolled off five top rotation guys and several starters that have not been a part of the everyday grind of it. And Duncan Robinson may be joining this group, as he's revealed he's had a back issue for a minute. It's not the easy part, but as you guys know, covering the Heat as long as you have, there is a very hard line next up mentality and no excuses when you, and I don't even feel like it's excuses coming from the fan base or from the compensated observers. It's just the reality of how many teams can sustain a playoff position of envy when you don't have your frontline players. And so it's going to be a battle here down the stretch if the Heat want to not take the hard road again, which, as we know, last year to get to the Eastern Conference Championship, they had to go through two play-in games first.
Right.
Well, what I'm looking at is you've got a little help from your friend. This kid, is it Jamie Jacques? How do you say that?
I love it.
That's my southern accent, baby.
What a great find. I'll tell you a cool story. So as we were grinding through the envy of being able to play as long as you play, but then being exited out without the championship, and kudos to Denver for winning that title. But as that all comes to a close, you go right to, immediate to draft cramming. And then, you got free agency, and then boom, off you go to Summer League. And so it was wild trying to figure out which of these players is going to fit best, kind of those mid-teen guys as it pertains to all these mock drafts that I hadn't looked at all because the Heat are playing so deep into the spring. And so Hawkins' name just kept coming up and coming up. And so I'm looking at the video, I'm like, oh, Lord, this man already looks like a Heat player. He's just wearing UCLA clothes. And then all of a sudden, he was there and available. And all summer, you just kept hearing his name as it pertains to work and then the play that he had in the early summer league. And he got hurt by the time the team got to Vegas. So I don't think a lot of people got to see what was coming, but they eventually did. As he had a great opening few months before an injury, a hamstring shut him down for a little bit. But, man, it's just been a solid debut. And for the most part, unless he's thrust into the starting lineup, he plays behind Jimmy Butler. And he has definitely taken on kind of that mentality of, let me hit somebody first, and let me see if they'll back down before I power this ball up. And what you guys have probably seen, you'll see a little bit more of tomorrow and Sunday, is just wonderful footwork for such a, I can't say young player because he played 4 years at UCLA, but for a first-year player in the NBA, his footwork belies his age, and it's just an utter joy to watch.
Again, we're talking with Jason Jackson, radio voice of the Miami Heat, Cavs in Heat tomorrow night in Cleveland, and then Sunday down in Miami. And Jason, you talked about our various travels throughout the NBA, and I know you do, as well as Jim and I. We talk to other radio announcers and team officials, and it seems like when we bump into people in the Eastern Conference, it's a consensus, well, we'll play anybody, but we really don't want to face the Heat. Now, is that a byproduct of last year? Is it about Heat culture? But I'm telling you, everybody says, yeah, we don't want Miami in that first round.
Yeah, that's probably the last 4 years. I've got to give really credit to this era, you know, which is signatured by Jimmy Butler. And the arrival of Tyler Hero. Bam was already here and emerging into the role that he currently holds with this team now as the team's captain, with Udonis Haslem retiring. And I think it's really simple. So the Heat culture thing, I know it makes people's eyes roll, but it's really simple. It's just deciding who you are and what you're going to be, and then never really wavering from that. You're not drafting necessarily for – there's a need, but it's – will this particular player fit what's required here? And that's a lot of defensive focus. It's a lot of practicing. It's a lot of shoot-arounds, a lot of film sessions. And it sounds simple, but that's not necessarily the life for all 30 teams in this league. And so that's the first layer of it. And when you have the consistency of ownership, executive leadership, now this is the 29th season that Pat Riley's been in charge. Wow. The head coach has been here the same amount of time, and he's in his 16th season in that first seat. So there's just a lot of consistency. And when you have that, the organization, that is standing firm and holding the rudder, not the things that kind of come and go. I think the idea comes from, regardless of if you have this team down 27 or 7, at some point they're coming at you. Now, the difficulty of crawling out a 27-point hole is sustaining once you get that thing even, because you've used so much energy to get out of it. But it is going to be a long series. You're not going to get a broom out, mostly. There's only been one sweep in these, you know, four straight years of playoff dynamics that he had to deal with, and that was coming out of the bubble after going to the Eastern Conference Finals and having 6 weeks off before that next season started. So there were some elements that contributed to that, and also that Milwaukee was awesome and focused on one thing, winning the title. But it is going to be fun, whatever the route, and I look forward to it. And I know the Cavs fans are looking forward to getting to it, too, from a more enviable position, I imagine, when everything's done on April 14th.
Jason, the Heat are coming off an NBA Finals appearance. So, again, you're in an enviable position as well. Hey, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night up on the Joe Tate Perch, and then again Sunday down in Florida. But keeping an eye on the Heat, there's no doubt about that, in this crazy Eastern Conference. We appreciate you spending a few moments with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
It's a pleasure, and we all appreciate how wonderful Max Strus has been wrapped into the organization. It's been wonderful to watch from afar, a guy that I watched develop through the Heat's organization, come in and contribute and already be a fan favorite in Cleveland, which is awesome to see.
Yeah, he's been a very valuable piece. All righty, that's Jason Jackson, the radio voice of the Miami Heat. Jason's in town. Cavs and Heat tomorrow night in Cleveland, Sunday in Miami. We'll take a timeout and we'll wrap it all up for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. It's going to do it for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Boy, thanks to Jason Jackson for stopping by, voice of the Miami Heat. Earlier, you heard from Brad Daugherty. As always, outstanding insights from Brad. Jim Jones, thanks to you. Kurt and Marty, thanks to you on the other side of the window. Jim and I will be back tomorrow night, Cavs and Heat, at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, 7 o'clock tip. The Huntington Tip-Off Show at 6:30 on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. So until then, Tim Elkhorn saying so long, everybody.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.